Good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet and I'm here in the studio with with Chi-Chi Laron.
I know I shouldn't have shared this story.
Of course you should have. And the late Patty Fink, and thank you for joining
still
us.
Still alive.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for lunch. I'm still alive.
Uh-huh. And our guest today is the Honorable Arnold Wayne Jones. He is the Lifestyles Editor from Dallas Voice. This weekend is the Emmy Awards, and Arnold joins us very regularly for the Emmys, the Oscars, sometimes the Grammys, sometimes
the Tonys,
the Schmemmys, whatever.
The Schmemmys have already taken place.
The Schmemmys have taken place.
You know, we need to have you come on just for the Razzies. Well, that's the same day as the Oscars.
And
I'm happy to talk about nothing but the Razzies next time. Okay, so.
So many deserving.
There really are.
Here's a really interesting thing. There is one person who was nominated for a Razzie and an Oscar for the same performance.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Joan Hackett for Only When I Laugh in 1981.
Now, Arnold
Scary.
Is also an author. He wrote a book on Oscar trivia called
The Envelope, Please.
And it's all about all kinds of nonsense that only Arnold would know about.
That's exactly right.
Right, exactly. So, the Emmy that I want to know about is who is going to win for outstanding non-prosthetic makeup for a miniseries or movie? Do you think it'll be Mildred Pierce, The Kennedys, Cinema Verite, or Starz film The Pillars of the Earth?
You know, I've been thinking about this one a lot.
I know you.
Non-prosthetic.
And
makeup.
I think the team from Mildred Pierce. No, I have no idea. You know, and that's the thing is, I mean, in some ways, the nice thing about the Emmys is it really is just an industry like, oh, it's nice for your peers to recognize you. Mm-hmm. And the bad thing about it is nobody cares. I mean, if you have to create a category of black and white editing of a foreign language documentary feature, you know, maybe you become a little too esoteric.
Oh, how about, come on, host of a reality show?
Well,
is that a category?
That is a category. Oh, wow. Which this year at the Schmemmys went to Ryan Seacrest for the second or third year or something like that. So.
Oh, man. Hmm. The exciting thing this time, though, and one reason I'm excited about the Emmys this time is because Jane Lynch is hosting. Yes.
Well, of course, and that's the kind of cool thing. You know, I mean, I imagine, I don't know this for a fact, but I would imagine that the people who... The Emmys are one of these shows. The Oscars have been on ABC for 40 years or something like that. And CBS is at the Grammys for a long time. The Emmys actually flit around. They kind of move from network to network because... almost like on a rotating basis, like ABC one year, NBC the next year, so on and so forth.
And they can flit because they have that little ball. Isn't that the Emmy?
And wings.
Yeah. I think it's because the Emmys are... They don't want to become identified with a single network.
Because
it's television, yeah. Right. In fact, the Emmy broadcast is the only nationally broadcast TV show that is not eligible for any Emmy nomination. So it can never win Best Award Show or Best Host of an Award Show because it would be seen as too inside baseball.
It's almost the C-SPAN of... networks and they want to honor their own.
Right. Yeah. They you know, and that's the thing that you can never, you know, back in the old days of the studio system in Hollywood, studios like 20th Century Fox were actually big enough that they could Daryl Zanuck could say, we put a lot of money into the Alamo. I want everybody on the studio set to vote for the Alamo for Best Picture, you know, and that would get it a nomination. It might not get it a win, but it might get a nomination. And I think that I wonder how much the networks have a sway, because the Emmys are a very strange way that they do it. People submit movies or performances or whatever it is to a panel, and the panel narrows it down to 10, and then the 10 or 20, and then the 10 or 20 are narrowed down to like 6, and but then I don't even think the entire membership votes. I think that, again, they have particular panels that go and say... There's a kind of a famous story one time where there were 5 nominees for Best Miniseries, and there were 6 people, and one person each voted for each miniseries and one voted for another one, so one won by with two votes and the others all split the vote. So it's like, oh, great consensus. But
so sort of the Electoral College.
It's sort of the Electoral College of television award shows. But, yeah, my point being that this year the Emmys are on Fox, and so the host is Jane Lynch, who is, of course, a star on the Fox show Glee. And Glee comes on, its season premiere is on the Tuesday after the Emmys. So, you know, there's certainly a lot of that going on. And Jane has an autobiography, a memoir out, coming out this week. Mm-hmm. So...
So has it become... Because last year the host was...
I have no idea who it was last year.
Oh, what's his name?
Was it Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris, okay. Yeah. So have they decided that it's just fair to go back and forth between lesbian, gay men?
Lesbian, gay men, yes. Well, you know, I think the trend started in 2001. It seems to me it was 2001 Emmys that were kind of famous because they had to be postponed because of 9/11. Mm-hmm. And they had to be postponed again.
And it was Ellen.
And it was Ellen. And everyone thought she did a great job hosting. Mm-hmm.
That was an extraordinary time to
that's
try
how she
to
got
be funny.
Show. Right. Yeah, that's how she got her talk show. Was everyone thought she was just great on the Emmys? So yes, it's and of course part of the joke all summer long has been that Jane Lynch is like, I'm so happy you asked me to host the Emmys. People come say, well, I was ready for Ms. DeGeneres. She's like, yeah, that's not me. but she's great, of course, and she's an openly lesbian comedian and actress who won in this category last year.
And her show is up, and she is up again.
She's up again, and that's a good segue.
I don't like. That's one thing I don't like when the host is actually up for one of the awards. I never like that. I think it's awkward.
Well, it's hard to find somebody who's a really big star who's tuned in to TV and can really pull
it
off.
The other thing, too, David, and this isn't the case in Jane Lynch, I don't think, because they announced the things really late, but for example, we already know who the host of next year's Oscars is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we don't know who the nominees are.
Right. We don't have a clue who the nominees are going to be. And
yeah, but I don't think he's going to be nominated for anything.
Probably not.
Who is the...
Is Eddie Murphy? Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. But he was nominated a couple of years ago.
Yeah, for Dreamgirls.
For Dreamgirls. So
did somebody like feel sorry for him? I haven't seen him in anything recently.
He's been too busy dating, you know, training prostitutes, I think, to, and then making family movies.
He makes a lot of flop family movies.
That's his shtick now. He used to be this edgy comedian, and now he's this guy who's in his personal life, you know, gets a little wacky. And in public life, you know, does things that would be treacly on the Nickelodeon channel.
Well, let's get to a couple of the categories. First is one that I'm taking personally, so you better answer this one the right way, or you're not coming on for the Oscar show. Outstanding Actress in a Drama, the nominees.
You take it personally because you thought you'd be nominated?
Well, I should have been nominated for Outstanding Actress in a Drama, but I wasn't.
Okay.
But somebody who I love...
Connie Britton from Friday Night Lights.
And that's who you think is going to win. I do, too. Okay, next
category. No. Kathy Bates, Harry's Law.
Okay.
I'm pulling also, for Kathy Bates.
No. And if she wins, you're not on the show next week.
Well, we'll just see about that, won't we?
You know, you and I have discussed this before, David, because I love the show Friday Night Lights. I love Connie on the show. Mm-hmm. I like Kyle on the show. But I thought this season was like a really not... up to par season.
And you're wrong,
them.
I was on it.
That's
that,
kind
maybe that's
of the
why.
Point. the season was just not... I mean, first of all, it was a shortened season because they were doing it for DirecTV.
Well, it's always a shortened... Since season two, it's been a shortened season.
No, there've been, I
it's
think,
been 13
seasons.
Episodes the last three years. The year before was the strike, and the only full season Friday Night Lights ever had was the first season.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that may be the case, but this particular season seemed especially abbreviated. I mean, I know the last two seasons were abbreviated.
Don't you think it's striking, though, that, you know, Prison Break got so many Emmys because David was on it?
That's true.
Or how about Inspector Mom?
More.
How about Inspector Mom and the way that swept the Golden Globes that year? Oh, no, never happened.
You're golden, David. Golden.
Okay, so Outstanding Actress in a Drama. We have Kathy Bates for Harry's Law, Connie for Friday Night Lights, Marielle Enos for The Killing, Mariska Hargitay for Law & Order SUV.
Yes.
That's what I say, too.
Yeah,
SUV.
I think everybody does.
Yes.
Juliana Margulies for The Good Wife and Elizabeth Moss for Mad Men.
I'm going to back up for a second. You know the thing? SVU was originally called Sex Crimes Unit, and NBC made them take the name, change the name, because
really?
They didn't like the word sex crime.
It's way more fun being SUV.
Yes, I think so, too.
But, you know, Mariska Hargitay has been nominated, like, every year.
She's won. She's won a couple
she has
years
won.
Ago. Yeah.
Okay.
And she, of course, is the daughter of Jane Mansfield.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's nice that
she was in the car.
Being as famous as she is, she's lucky that she kept her good head on her shoulders all these years. But that's
bad.
A horrible, horrible Jane Mansfield dying of
it
decapitation.
Because she was in the car with her mother.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Mm, that's gross. I did see the movie TV movie with Lonnie Anderson and a young actor named Arnold Schwarzenegger a number of years ago playing Mickey Hargitay. So.
Wow.
But, yeah, I think Connie's great, and I wouldn't mind seeing her win just because she's done a great job.
Who will win?
I don't know. I mean, I always think the Emmys are in some ways really hard to predict because every so often, like, the nominees for comedy series will be, you know, Sex and the City and Arrested Development, and the award will go to Everybody Loves Raymond. And you're like, really? That's your idea of, like... cutting-edge comedy is a sitcom that looks like it could have come out of the 50s.
Not even cutting-edge, just best.
Yeah, right. But sometimes, you know, one of the things that's always difficult, and this is something that I kind of hate about the Emmys, is you and I might say, you know what I really loved is the opening scene of this series was this person who's so mousy, and then by the end they were so empowered. Because we watch the whole transition. But they only get to submit, like, one or two episodes. And so, if there's not a single episode in which you're doing a great job, then people don't necessarily see that transition from one episode to the next. And so that's what I always thought kind of did in, what was her name? Diana Muldaur on L.A. Law. When I was in law school, L.A. Law was really popular, and everybody loved Diana Muldaur, who played this character named Rosalind Shays, who's this hard-driving. And the thing was, she never raised her voice, and she never got emotional, and she was just like a snake. And everyone's like, ooh, she's so good. But she never won an Emmy, like, for the 2 years that she was nominated. And I think it was because there was... When she just says, I'd be happy to look over your memo for you, Elaine... You don't realize that in the previous episode she proved herself to be a snake, and you're like, oh, how dare she read that memo, you know? But if you're just watching that one episode, you're like, okay, she offered to read a memo.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Mm-hmm. And so I think that you always want to see that one episode each season that somebody has a great scene. I think Connie definitely. I would imagine that Connie's would probably be like the season opener, the second episode of the season when she's being berated for encouraging someone to get an abortion, supposedly. And
which she wasn't, and that was
right,
the point
that
of
was
the
whole
story.
Point, yeah. And her indignation. And that was like, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the episode she submitted, because it was certainly like the center of her stuff. Elizabeth Moss is one of these actresses who's kind of gone back and forth between supporting and leading actress on Mad Men.
Yeah, never heard of her. Let's go on.
She plays Peggy on Mad Men, and I'm not sure what the episode is she's nominated for this year, but I think she's great on the show. But yes, I think...
Juliana Margulies, who didn't win for The Kids Are Okay, but...
The Kids Are All Right. Totally different Julie.
Oh, that was Julianne
Moore.
Moore, right. Okay,
oh.
So we're confusing
I had no
them.
Idea what he's talking about.
And Annette Bening.
And one was a movie.
Right.
Yeah,
so
I knew what he was talking
they
about.
They didn't get
totally.
It, so they're going to nominate her for The Good Wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Mirielle Enos, I love The Killing. I was surprised that The Killing wasn't nominated.
What is The Killing? I never heard of
it. It's an AMC series.
Oh, okay.
Based upon a Swedish series. It's very much kind of a combination of 24 and...
Dexter.
I was going to say Blue Velvet, but or Twin Peaks. But yeah, it's a really interesting series. It takes place over the course of just a couple days in the cold Northwest.
And Harry's Law.
Harry's Law is kind
awesome
of like
show.
I've only watched it once. It's okay. It's a typical NBC drama, which is let's not get too dramatic. You know.
Oh, they've gone places on it. If you've watched the whole season.
I have not watched the whole season.
Okay, so we all agree Connie Britton on that one.
Okay.
No. Then, we're going to have this out next week, and guess who's going to win? it's going to be Patty, David.
So Patty for Kathy Bates. Actor in a drama.
Right.
Steve Buscemi for Boardwalk Empire. Kyle for Friday Night Lights. Michael C. Hall for Dexter. John Hamm for Mad Men. Kyle Chandler for Friday Night Lights. Hugh Laurie for House. And Timothy Olyphant for Justified.
Well, this is an interesting thing. For the first time in about 3 years, because of the way the season works, Breaking Bad, which has won the Best Actor in a Drama Series for the last three consecutive years, is not eligible for any awards. Just like this time next year, Mad Men will not be eligible because its season did not have a season that ran during the previous period. So this is really, in some ways, a crapshoot, because it's been a while since any of these people have actually had a shot. They've been nominated largely before. This is the first time for Steve Buscemi for Boardwalk Empire, just because this is the first season of Boardwalk Empire.
First time for Kyle, too.
And
he's never been nominated.
Has he never been nominated before?
No, Connie has, but Kyle has not.
Okay. And Timothy Olyphant also new. But this is old news to John Hamm, Hugh Laurie, and Michael C. Hall. And so I'll be interested to see how it goes. You know, last year I kind of thought Michael C. Hall had, in some ways, the sentimental vote because he was suffering from cancer and he was cured of it. But and not that they should give it to him just for sentimental reasons, but I think that...
It's a great series.
It's been nominated a number of times. And Bryan Cranston had won the previous 2 years, so it's not like we need to give it to him because... You know, we haven't seen it. I think that's one of the problems with the Emmys sometimes, is that because different people are voting each year, there's a tendency to say, wow, I've been forced to watch the show which I've never seen before. He's really good. It's like, it's the exact same performance he gave last year.
Right.
It's just that you weren't watching it, so now you think it's new.
And I thought this is really going back, but I thought he was always overlooked for Six Feet Under.
Michael C. Hall?
Yeah. I thought he was really good in that.
I'm not sure he was ever nominated for Six Feet Under.
He wasn't.
So I don't think he was.
The guy that played his brother was.
Yeah, Peter Krause was nominated, I think, at 1 year. And then Frances Conroy and... what was her name? Lauren...
I know who you're talking about.
I know who you're talking about. Redhead.
The redhead. Yeah.
She was Ambrose.
Lauren Ambrose.
That's right.
She was great. And a couple of the other people nominated her so often.
But
do you think there's some sort of homage vote that happens? For example, this is Steve Carell's last season on The Office. And it's going to sort of pass the torch thing. Do you think they're going to give him
years ago, there were two series that were going off the air at the same time. One was MASH, and it was the obvious winner for best comedy series, and the Comedy Emmy went to Barney Miller, which was the other comedy series going off the air, which had never been as huge of a hit as MASH. And in fact, the finale of MASH was the single highest rated TV. Regularly scheduled TV program in history, and
I watched it on my black and white with knobs.
Really,
it had knobs.
Have that record. I'm not sure if any regularly scheduled series.
I think it does
has ever bested it. And so the fact that Barney Miller won, it's like, well, a lot of people said, why wouldn't they give it to MASH? Just as kind of like it was his final season. It's like, well, one reason is because it had won four times before. But the other is, it was the final season of Barney Miller, too, and people who appreciated Barney Miller maybe appreciated it more because it hadn't been nominated before and because people hadn't seen it. And it's like, oh, it's the final episode. Wow, that's a really good show. I love Barney Miller. It was my favorite sitcoms when I was a kid.
I liked MASH better, but, you know, just me.
So my point is, you never know. I mean, it is Steve Carell's last season, but it's a lot of people's last seasons on lots of shows all the time. I mean, where's Charlie Sheen's nomination? Oh, yeah. Winning.
We're going to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM. We'll be back with more with Chi-Chi LaRon's Entertainment Report right after this.
KNON thanks Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERimaging.com.
KNON thanks you for your pledge to our recent pledge drive.
Now's the time to make your pledge count. Send your pledge to KNON, P.O. Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by pledging on the web at KNON.org. Your pledge only counts if you pay it. KNON, Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. Be sure to put the name of the show you're supporting on the check, money order, or the envelope. Questions about KNON's pledge drive? Call 214-828-9500, extension 234.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
Okay, so,
all right.
So we played two intros, but...
So, yeah, so you know now, so it's Lambda Weekly.
It definitely is. Here's the entertainment report.
All right, Chas Bono. You know, when it was first announced that he was going to be on Dancing with the Stars, I knew a little hoopla, but this has gotten crazy. In addition to the 1MillionMoms.com, which is an activism group towards geared towards mothers...
Hating their own children, is that the nature of the group?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
They're boycotting the show. Then last
week, you sure know they're not boycotting because of Nancy Grace?
No, don't think so. That's why I will boycott.
Actually, they're transcotting the show.
All right,
that's the problem.
That's the problem. And
they don't want her dancing. They don't want him dancing with Juliana Huff. He should be. Yeah. She should. He whatever should be dancing with Maxima.
Well, they say.
Well, that's my point. Is like.
They don't know what
Chaz shouldn't be dancing with Juliana. Chaz should be dancing with Max. So.
Yeah, I just don't think they want Chaz on the show at all. They say it's going to confuse children.
Yeah.
And
oh,
last
please.
Week, Dr. Keith Ablow, he's a psychiatrist and a frequent contributor on Fox News, he also said that kids shouldn't be watching Dancing with the Stars this season.
Oh, that's insane.
It's actually
just
insane. Now,
no,
it's
the adults that should who are confused about it that
they
shouldn't
be watching
it. Right. The kids will get it fine.
Now the American Psychiatric Association have stepped in and said that it's completely okay for children to watch the show. Quote, there's no evidence that viewing a television game with a transgender contestant would induce gender identity disorder in young people. Finally, something the voice of common sense.
Right. Yeah, but it just sounds so idiotic that we have to say something.
Exactly.
Anybody
exactly.
has to tell adults.
Well, the guy drives that.
The thing that always drives me crazy about these particular issues is people say, how am I supposed to explain this to my children? I'm like, I don't know. How do you explain it to them when men walk around with tiny little skull caps on and curls on their on along their sides? Or how do you explain it when a Mexican guy and a white woman have a black child together, you know, maybe because they adopt it. You know, the fact is, get over it. This is society. If you don't like it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, a prime example in prime time and really all day long, not just after 10 p.m., is, you know, that if it lasts 4 hours, you know, you got to explain that to everybody, too. Right.
Well, here's the thing.
Say,
how many
daddy,
kids?
What does that mean?
How many kids who didn't know that Chaz used to be a woman are even going to ask?
Exactly.
It's not like every time they say, next up, Chaz Bono, and, you know, I forgot his dancing partner's name. They're not going to say, Chaz Bono, the guy that used to be a woman.
Just like they're not going to say, and here is seething bitch Nancy Grace.
But they should.
Well, she'll make that clear. I mean, I think the children would be more confused by saying, Mommy, Daddy, how is Bristol Palin still on this show?
Yeah, thank you. That's what they would be asking. Very good question, Arnold. I agree.
Good point.
Yes. Anyway.
You know, and just like Chaz is going to induce gender disorder or whatever.
Identity disorder.
Okay. Bristol Palin didn't induce you to become a Republican, did she?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
I was just wondering. Because you
if
watched
I was already firmly where I was, and I was more firmly there by not watching
it. Right. So she didn't encourage you to become an unwed teenage mother?
No. Oh, no. Not whatsoever.
Okay. See how that happens sometimes?
Yeah.
You can watch TV and you don't become the person on TV.
Exactly. All right, a few months ago...
See, this is the problem that... why I'm still white even after watching Soul Train my entire career.
You see?
Hello, I'm Doug.
All right,
alias.
Move on. All right, a few months ago, I announced that actor Mark Ruffalo has signed on to play his first ever gay role in the screen adaptation of Larry Kramer's play, The Normal Heart. Now the movie is that much closer to becoming a reality because it has a pretty hot producer, Brad Pitt. His,
You merely mean a hot producer, yeah. Not like, he's got a really good success rate with producing movies.
No. He's a hot producer. His Plan B production company is going to co-produce with Ryan Murphy, who's also going to direct. It's also been announced that Julia Roberts is now on board on the film. She's going to play Dr. Emma Bruckner. No start date has been announced, so that's going to be interesting. Elton John and George Michael are teaming up again, but this time not to do a song. Instead, they're going to help launch this new gay rights group in Britain called Kaleidoscope, and I think the launch is today. The new international pressure group was created to tackle the rising number of attacks on sexual minorities. So, good for them. And last, the only openly gay NBA CEO, Rick Welts, has resigned from his post as the Phoenix Suns CEO just 4 months after coming out. Okay. Probably one of the biggest sports coming out this year stories. He stated that his decision was personal, and he said that this isn't one of those departures to see greener pastures. The guys have been really great with him since he came out. He just wants to focus on personal business, and he did add that he's considering writing a book.
And he wants to be able to put his pictures up on Grindr without somebody getting all bent out of shape about it.
He's got a partner. Like that ever stops
yes,
people.
That's, yes, the only people on Grindr are single men.
Right. Have you seen the new heterosexual version?
No, what's it called?
It looks just like Grindr, but it's not called Grindr. I forgot.
I don't even know what you're talking about. But no. I
you don't
have
know what
an inkling.
Grindr is?
I know what Grindr is, okay. But I try to tune it out.
They have a straight version.
Here, let me show it.
La la la. Everybody has an icon. They go right to it, right? They have an app.
This is the Grindr app.
Okay, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that we're not on TV right now.
Right.
Well, remember friend of the show, Mike Hathaway? Uh-huh. We had this discussion on Facebook at one point. He says, I'm watching Salt. I don't understand the plot. I'm halfway through. You know, all these questions about it. And I just said, Mike, you know, you just don't understand how this works. The plot of Salt is Angelina Jolie is hot. He's like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get back to television. That was the movie. And actually, I do want to see that one because it was filmed, some of the scenes were filmed not in New York City, but up in Albany, New York. And there were some scenes that were filmed right on the street I used to live. So I haven't gotten to see that one. Outstanding drama. Who do you think is going to actually win that one, Arnold? We were talking
drama about series?
Drama series. Outstanding actor in a drama series.
Actor in a drama series. You know, like I say, it's hard to say because...
but we don't have you on to be hard to say.
Right.
We have you on because you're opinionated.
Right.
And...
personally...
Impossible.
I don't see. I don't see Friday Night Lights like sweeping these awards. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Mm-hmm. So, which is not to say that people vote in blocks like, oh, I voted for Connie, I better not vote for Kyle, or vice versa, because how can you predict those things? But
you just don't think that's the obvious choice.
I don't think that's the obvious choice, even if it is his first time and the show's going off the air. Mm-hmm. John Hamm hasn't won yet, so I wouldn't be surprised to see John win. And neither has Hugh Laurie, although he's been on the show for so long, it might be like, oh, he's still doing that shtick again.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of shtick, I love the new commercial for House. You seen it?
I haven't seen it, no.
This cane goes along and trips people and...
Oh, that's funny.
All that stuff, and then at the end it says, you know, if you
I think Steve
House,
Buscemi could be kind of like the big surprise because the show, I actually didn't watch it because it was on HBO and I don't have HBO, but the show was incredibly well received. Martin Scorsese directed the pilot. It just has that kind of like glean of what television likes to reward about itself. Mm-hmm. You know, big, expensive-looking period piece, very Sopranos-esque.
And so he could be swept in along with the show itself. But I'm kind of holding out for Michael C. Hall. Because
okay,
I think
so we agreed Kyle Chandler on that one. Let's go to comedy series.
Did you notice, Aaron and I were talking about this last night, that you know, Modern Family, which you know was rewarded last year, is up again. And there has such an ensemble cast that everyone is embedded into the supporting categories.
Right.
But all of them are. There's four men
and two women.
And two women. And
all the adult characters on the show are nominated, which is interesting because last year Ed O'Neill was not nominated, and I thought he should have been because he's terrific on that show as the father. So I think he's terrific. But yeah, would we start with actress in a comedy?
Sure, actress in a comedy: Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie, Tina Fey on 30 Rock, Lori Linney on The Big C, Melissa McCarthy, Mike and Molly, Martha Plimpton, Raising Hope, and Amy Poehler, Parks and Recreation.
You know, this is, again, a hard time to... It's difficult to pick the winners on shows like this, or in categories like this, because of those shows, only four of the six are on, like, broadcast networks. And none of them are really popular. I mean, none are, like, top 20 hits.
Right.
30 Rock...
There's no Friends in here.
Right. 30 Rock is a gigantic popular hit among, like, critics and the in people, and it's won so many Emmys, including for Tina Fey. But she didn't win last year. I think she lost to Edie Falco, actually.
I think Edie Falco on Nurse Jackie is just wonderful.
Yeah. You know, she won last year, so she may win again this year. That's... You know, the funny thing about picking the awards for the Emmys is it's a lot like picking the weather, you know, and meteorologist once told me that if someone asks you what the weather's going to be like today and you say pretty much like yesterday, you'll be right 75% of the time. Mm-hmm. That if you want to say whoever won last year will probably win again this year, that's often the case. You know, that you get these people who win multiple awards over the years. John Larroquette,
Susan Lucci.
or lose every year after year. Or Kim Zimmer is a better example for that. But so I think that it's really hard to say. I think Edie Falco could definitely win this
okay,
award.
Okay, so here's my prediction.
But I would love Martha Plimpton to win. She's my favorite of the people on the show.
I didn't even know she was on a show, and now I'm going to have to start watching this.
Raising Hope is terrific. It's the maker of My Name is Earl, and it has a very similar style to it. And it's very gay. This is the other thing, too. That's a very gay-friendly show that doesn't appear to be great gay-friendly, you know, where they make comments about homos and stuff like that. But it's always in this kind of ridiculously over-the-top way, sort of like the way Archie Bunker was, you know, that Archie himself was a racist, but the show was the opposite of being a racist because it was making fun of that.
Okay, so here's my prediction. Melissa McCarthy for Mike and Molly, because it's the current Everybody Loves Raymond.
It is the current Everybody Loves Raymond, and Patricia Heaton won a lot of Emmys when she was on that show.
Mm-hmm. I want to do Outstanding Supporting Actress. I just want to talk about this one for a second. Because of Modern Family, Julie Bowen and Sofia Vergara for Modern Family.
Right.
But then Kristen Wiig for Saturday Night Live. That's an odd one to throw into that
She's been
category.
Nominated for several years in a row. Yeah.
It actually says on the Emmy site that it's for multiple performances.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple characters.
Yeah.
Right.
Jane Krakowski for 30 Rock, Betty White for Hot in Cleveland, and Jane Lynch for Glee.
Right. And Jane won last year, Betty, of course, I think Betty's nomination is due mostly to the kind of, like, gigantic Betty mania that
goes
on lately.
Have you seen the show?
I have seen the show once or twice.
It's
very old school.
It's been repeated now in, what's-her-name show that follows it it's a new show, The Nanny.
The Nanny, right, yeah.
Fran Drescher show. What they do is they take people who've been successful on old comedies, they play the exact same character, they throw several of them together, and so Hot in Cleveland is four women living together in one house. What does that sound like? One of them is Betty White, if that's another clue to what the show is.
Yeah. She's really a mixture, though. She's nothing like Rose. And, you know, Rose Nyland from Golden Girls. She's far more like, I would say, I can't think of her name, on Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, yeah, like
Sue Ann.
Yeah, Sue Ann Niven.
But they take these characters, from old shows, and basically they're playing their same character, because the one from, I'm blank their names, the one from Frasier, yeah, is playing the same person.
Right. Yeah, it's Perry Gilpin from Frasier.
The one from Don't
Winnie
Shoot
Malick
Me.
Winnie Malick from Don't Shoot Me.
And she's playing the exact
and
same
Valerie
character
Bertinelli from...
And Valerie Bertinelli's playing Valerie. They're all playing their exact same... And then they always have the walk-ons from their old shows who come on and play themselves.
Exactly.
Like on Fran Drescher's show, the one who played the one that she ends up marrying, he's an author, and it's just a little... thing that he does, a little shtick, and he looks at her and he asks her how he should sign it. She said, Fran. He says, fine. You know, and it's that kind of, you have to know the old show to, those shows I can't stand. But Modern Family, either one of them could win. I think Sofia Vergara probably...
I love Sofia Vergara. I think it might be Jane again. I think that... Again, if I were to pick an episode that she was probably nominated for, I wouldn't be surprised with the one that aired last week, which was the one where her sister dies. One of the kind of frustrating things about the Emmys, actually, is that she will probably win for Best Actress in a Comedy Series for being tearful over the death of her sister. The people who win the comedy Emmys often get them for dramatic turns, and the people who get the drama Emmys often get them for comedic turns. And it's kind of strange.
Well, but it's the same thing, though. We were talking about this last night, Aaron and I, talking about the drama or comedy. I'm like, okay, the supporting actress in... And I was looking for Edie Falco and Laura Linney. And
right.
I said, well, now, would that be comedy or drama? Because
right.
I had to look it back up on my iPhone.
And I think the reason why they're probably considered comedy, the way that... This isn't the only deciding factor, but is that they're half-hour shows. You know, that's not always the case. There have been some the Glee is an hour-long show. But I've always felt that the category of comedy and drama is kind of an arbitrary one, because it's not always that's the same thing. Mm-hmm. I've always thought they should do best performance on a half-an-hour show mm-hmm. and best performance on a half-an-hour or longer than half-an-hour show.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Because I think that the skills levels are different.
You have to sustain the character
yeah.
more. And on the half-hour show, your character has to get in there quickly and make the impact.
Right. And the reason why they don't do that is because half the people who win these episodes, like for Best Actress in a Comedy Series, like Jennifer Aniston, win it for the hour-long episode where Jennifer Aniston mm-hmm. gives birth, right. you know. And so it's like, I don't want to just...
And it is different acting skills, because I have plenty of time to develop my character on Friday Night Lights.
You do. You absolutely do.
They're filmed... The difference
because you're not constrained by, you know, an audience or...
Or lots of dialogue.
the difference, though, is the way they're
following.
Filmed. No, the difference, though, seriously, is the way they're filmed. An hour show is usually a multi-camera show. A 30-minute show usually isn't. It's
right.
a one-camera, or it's a three-camera... on stage performance,
right.
usually.
Yeah, done chronologically, and they do the episode. Yeah.
But even a 30 Rock, which is done as a film, the NBC comedies tend to be filmed. It's still done differently. It's a different type of acting than is done on an hour-long show.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, Kristen Wiig, I'm honestly thinking that if she's up and going to win, it'll be for Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah. That may be why, yeah.
She does it great.
Why don't we take our break? We're talking the Emmys today. Our guest is Arnold Wayne Jones. He's the Lifestyles Editor from Dallas Voice. And we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Dallas Voice, a Texas LGBT media company, has covered news, entertainment, culture, and opinion in the North Texas LGBT community for more than 25 years. Every week, Dallas Voice reaches more than 45,000 North Texas LGBT readers in print. DallasVoice.com informs more than 170,000 visitors every month, with breaking news appearing throughout the day, every day in the Instant Tea blog. Dallas Voice is proud to support KNON Community Radio.
If you don't want your old SUV or other gas guzzler, the KNON Vehicle Donation Program can take it off your hands. Call us today at 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at KNON.org. Our representative will take all of your information and arrange a convenient time to pick up your vehicle. All it takes is a call to 877-KNON-AUTO and we'll create great programming from your old car, truck, or boat. 877-KNON-AUTO.
Saturday, September 17th, KNON is proud to present the official Buddy Whittington CD release party for Buddy's latest CD, Six Strings Bengali, at the Sons Apartment Hall. Joining KNON and Buddy Whittington this Saturday will be the amazing Holland K. Smith and the incredible saxophone blues of the Mike Johnson Band. There will be a free barbecue dinner provided by the Alligator Cafe. Advance tickets are only $6. That's dinner and a show for only $6. Great blues, great food, only $6. You can't beat that anywhere in Dallas this Saturday night, so get your tickets now. This is Blue Lisa of Thursday Morning's Big Texas Blues Show, and I'll be your host. $6 advance tickets are available now at knon.org, Bill's Records, and Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. This Saturday night at the Sons Apartment Hall, the Dallas Buddy Whittington CD release party with special guests Holland K. Smith, the Mike Johnson Band, and free barbecue from the Alligator Cafe. Tickets are only $6 in advance. Tickets cost more at the door, so get yours now.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Tappan here in the studio with Patty Fink, and we're talking to Arnold Wayne Jones. He is the Lifestyles Editor for Dallas Voice, and we're talking about the Emmys, which are going to be this Sunday.
Hosted by Jane Lynch.
Absolutely.
That's going to be awesome.
Big old lesbian.
And funny. There's not a thing she does that I don't want. And I love her as Spencer Reed's mother on Criminal Minds. She's just outstanding. She plays a schizophrenic woman who's on and off her meds. So
just like in real life.
Right.
I love her line where she says, "That's the most disturbing thing I've ever seen on stage, and that includes a fifth grade production of Hair."
Let's erase that image.
Okay, so let's go back to the supporting actors. Which in that category do you think will actually win? Do you think Jane Lynch will win again?
I think Jane might win again, although I think that, you know, Glee is one of those shows. I enjoy Glee, and one of the reasons why I enjoy Glee is because this is the time to enjoy it. I don't see the show being around in 3 years. Mm-hmm. It's very much of its time. It's
And going back to high school dramas are kind of funny to do because these kids are either going to be in high school for the next 10 years or you have to do what they did on Friday Night Lights, which was have three different classes of kids and keep moving the show along.
Right.
Or you're like My So-Called Life, which ran, one season?
Yeah.
So with Glee, you either have to develop a whole new cast somehow or
they're like peanuts. You know, they just never age.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah.
So you're right.
Simpsons.
I'm agreeing
with
you.
If Maggie Simpson were actually a person, she could vote, you know. I mean, she could legally drink.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking Jane Lynch on that one. How about actor in a comedy? We have Alec Baldwin, 30 Rock, Louis C.K. on Louis, Steve Carell, The Office, Johnny Galecki, Big Bang Theory, Matt LeBlanc, Episodes, and Jim Parsons, Big Bang Theory. And I have my preference on that one.
What's your preference?
That absolutely none of them win. I can't stand any of them. I really can't stand any of them.
Well, they said that, I read some years ago, that the Big Bang Theory, when it arrived, would arrive big. That it was going to be a sleeper hit. And here, this is the year. You know, this seems to be the year.
Well, last year, Jim Parsons did win, who, by the way, is openly gay. Mm-hmm. He did win for Best Actor, and I think it was considered something of a surprise that he did. Alec Baldwin has won several times before. I adore Alec Baldwin, which just goes to show why, you know, you don't have my job, David. Mm-hmm. But
Louis C.K., have you ever seen that series?
I have seen that series.
I cannot stand that series.
I don't like Louis C.K. all that much, but his performance on the series is actually okay.
And
it's basically just playing himself.
Yeah, and The Office is another one that I guess I'm supposed to like because it's this intelligent drama. I haven't been able to get 5 minutes into any episode on that series. I can't tell you how many times I tried to watch it. I can't stand The Office.
Yeah, I like The Office.
I do too.
Steve Carell, I think, is pretty good on it. And
but the show's
going to
continue after he leaves.
Yeah, with James Spader. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do with this category because it's pretty much up in the air. I don't think it'll be Louis C.K. Better not be Matt LeBlanc. That TV show Episodes is just unwatchable. Mm-hmm. And he's playing himself, which is strange. It's possible it could go to Johnny Galecki,
like spreading the wealth a little bit. You know, the first 3 years of the Golden Girls, a best actress 1 year went to Betty White, the next year went to Rue McClanahan, and the third year leading actress went to Bea Arthur and supporting actress went to Estelle Getty, and then they never won again. It's like, let's just get them through, cycle them through, and we're done.
But they all deserved it.
Yes, I think
I mean,
they
that
all
was
did.
Different. They all deserved it.
And that was another ensemble cast. You know, maybe they're going to pass them around through a lot of
And it's
others.
Interesting. They were all leading, but in Modern Family, they're all supporting.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's an interesting point because actually, Estelle Getty was always
was the
in,
supporting,
left in supporting.
Right.
But that largely has to do with the fact that, like, they usually make arrangements like that among the stars. In other words, they say, are we all going to submit ourselves in leading or supporting? And
because you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot.
Well, you know, right? Sometimes, I mean, it's strange. Like I say, Elizabeth Moss has been nominated several times for Mad Men, sometimes for leading, sometimes supporting, depending, I guess, which episode she's kind of, or what her arc is that season. Patricia Wedding won, like, two times as supporting actress on 30-something and then moved herself in the leading category and won in leading category. So, you know, you can never quite tell. I don't know who's going to win that one. I think Alec Baldwin is always terrific on the show. But I kind of think it might go to Johnny Galecki this year, but probably Jim Parsons is just going to repeat because I think he's very good on the show. Let's go to the supporting actor in a comedy, though, because that's actually the gayest category.
It is. Give the list.
Chris Colfer from Glee.
Who's gay?
Who's gay? Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family.
Who's gay?
Ed O'Neill from Modern Family. Who is not?
Who plays the father of a gay guy.
Right. Eric Stonestreet from Modern Family.
Who plays gay.
Right.
And does it so well. I love him.
Yeah. Ty Burrell from Modern Family.
Who's the brother-in-law of a gay guy.
And John Cryer from Two and a Half Men.
Who should be gay.
Who we're glad is not.
Okay, so four people. Has that ever happened before?
Oh, sure.
Four in one category from one show.
Actually, I believe in 1981, all five nominees for supporting actor in a drama series were from Hill Street Blues. Mm. That like the first or second season that was on.
But that's interesting. All six main characters on Modern Family were nominated.
Yeah.
Which just says that for best comedy, if Modern Family doesn't win, what are they thinking? They nominated every single one of them.
Well, you can't really kind of put it that way because let's take for the sake of argument that John Cryer wins for best supporting actor. Okay, yeah, but none of the actors on Modern Family out of that four were the best.
But the thing is, chances are the most votes went to the different people on Modern Family, and they're going to be splitting the votes, so it's very likely that Chris Colfer will win, or John Cryer, who was nominated for...
I don't know. Eric Stonestreet won last year when three of the nominees were nominated from Modern Family, and I was so glad he did, because he's terrific
on
that show.
He is just the best. I love his character.
They do a great job on that show. I think that's what I like about that show in its the way it portrays gay characters on television, because... What it does is, without going directly to stereotypes, they're really fully formed people, but they're very identifiable. You've seen these characteristics in your brother and everything. My favorite episode probably from last season was the episode where...
Fizbo?
Pardon me?
Fizbo?
I don't know what that...
The clown?
No, that was the previous season.
Okay, never mind.
My favorite that's the one that Eric Stonestreet won for. My favorite episode was the one where Jesse Tyler Ferguson's character he has an assistant, a secretary, a male secretary, and they both think that the secretary has a crush on them, and the whole kind of like way that they interact, where he says, "Well, he's obviously attracted to me," it's like. And just the roll of the eyes, and then the episode ends with the delivery boy coming over and says, "Oh, you gave us an extra egg roll." He says, "Well, you know, if you weren't single," and they're like, "He was talking about me." No, he's talking about me, and they're chasing after the delivery boy to see which one of them he was talking about. You know, that is such a gay thing without being, you know, queer as folk or
without
Jack
being over the top,
right? Without being Jack McFarland, yeah, you know, yeah. It's. It's very identifiable without being a cliche. Mm-hmm. And Nathan Lane, who was nominated for guest actor on a series for that, for playing Pepper, whatever his name is, he was great on the show. He actually lost to Justin Timberlake at the Schmemmies earlier this week. But but I think that it's great the way that they do the shows. My vote, though, is for Chris Colfer for Glee. He is absolutely one of the most... I think that he could have easily moved himself into the leading actor category in a comedy and won. It would not be a contest. If you said, Chris Colfer's up for leading actor against Steve Carell and Louis C.K., I would have said he'll win. Mm-hmm. And
I'm surprised nobody from Glee was nominated for Outstanding Actor.
Yeah, well, again, they may have kind of... last year it was Matthew Morrison was nominated, but and Lea Michele was not nominated this year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be surprised if nobody from Modern Family wins just because the vote gets split. John Cryer, who's I think is just awful. I mean, that show is just...
The funny thing is that show is produced by the same people who produced The Big Bang Theory, mm-hmm. and The Big Bang Theory is so clever and smart and witty, and that show is just dirty and dumb and unfunny, and it always has been. I mean, I don't watch it much, so people say, well, you don't watch it. It's like, but I
don't watch it because I can't stand it.
Right. I'll watch The Simpsons, and then they'll show a rerun of... 2 and a Half Men, and they'll have some, you know, boots knocking joke, and well, your son's fat, and you're stupid, and you're a whore. It's like, and then this laugh track comes on, you're like, did I see this episode yesterday? Because I remember every one of those jokes sometime in the last 24 hours. Oh yes, it was the exact same episode the first 30 seconds I saw it yesterday. And I guess it just depends whether you find that kind of humor funny, you know.
Anything that you find interesting coming up in the new season?
You know, we were talking about this the other day, that GLAAD says that there are a lot of gay characters on network series. Mm-hmm. Part of that, really, is because of Modern Family and Glee. Mm-hmm. You know, they do it not like how widely spread these nominations are, but how many there are. So if you had a show that was called Gay Guys on Parade on NBC with 30 gay guys, that raises the rate by 30, even though it's just one show that may be canceled after two episodes. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of the season, they say, hey, there are 30 gay guys mm-hmm. on the show. So, you know, Glee and Modern Family continue to do that, and I think that's great. I don't know all the gay characters on upcoming shows. The one I'm most interested in is Person of Interest with Michael Emerson from Lost, and also Jim Caviezel, who was Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, and is like slightly right of Mel Gibson, but I'm still interested in seeing the show.
Okay, do you have one that you're looking forward
to? Yep. I want to ask your opinion.
Let me get one more show coming up.
Okay.
And then we'll do Pan Am.
I watched
the intros to it, the right. Coming attractions to it with Miguel, who I live with, who started out as a Pan Am pilot.
Is that right?
Yeah. So he's really looking forward to this, and he's wondering, who are they going to do my story? I'm expecting that to be
coffee, tea, or me.
Very gay show.
I don't know. The problem with that being a gay show is that it's set in the '60s, so it really depends on
which
how
I think.
Gay they
again,
make.
That's a great way to break the stereotype and to do some interesting characters.
Yeah, you might be right. But what was your question, Patty?
Outstanding reality program, competition program. We have singing and dancing versus skill.
What's not skilled about singing and dancing?
Oh, singing and dancing, come on. You either have it or you don't. Skill's another thing.
I don't know. You know, I was actually mentioned this in the paper on the Dallas Voice this week, which is our Pride edition. I have a story on that. It's like, this is the gayest category. The nominees are Top Chef, gay. American Idol, gay.
Project Dancing, One Way.
Dancing with the Stars, gay. Project Runway, uber gay. An Amazing Race, still pretty gay.
Right.
I mean, it's really funny how the reality, that's where the gays have kind of made their point, mark on television. And it's also true, you know, Dave and I were talking about this under the other category, not a reality show, but on the comedy variety show, where a lot of people are, that's where you're getting a lot of, not necessarily gay, but certainly gay-friendly, gay-supportive, and kind of left-wing commentary. I mean, the nominees are The Colbert Report, The Daily Show, and Real Time with Bill Maher among the nominees. All three of those are, like, constantly berating the right for being morons about stuff like equal rights. And they do it in different ways. I have never been a gigantic fan of The Colbert Report, but for the last year or so, I've been watching it, and I am just total convert now. I love that show.
He's so spot on. And, you know, they did a study last year it came out, that the majority of of right-wing conservatives think he's really
well,
a right-wing
that's
conservative.
That's what I wondered, because he
George
does
Bush
such a...
thought he was and invited him to the White House.
They think he's one of them.
That's what I think is so funny, is that he has those people on the show, and sometimes when he does the interview segment, he's so right-wing about it that he's actually convincing in this kind of mania. But, like, isn't government never good for people?
Right.
You know, and half the time people agree with him. I mean, it's funny because I've always thought that, like, the people who... I feel sorry for the people in small towns when they were doing the Borat show, where he would come in and say, "Hi, I'm from another country. Here are pictures of me and my family." They start showing pictures, and then suddenly it would be a picture of his sister naked, and then him having sex with the sister. And then these people are going like, "Oh, well, yes, thank you, that's fine, but that's really inappropriate." I mean, Southern hospitality is not to say, "You pervert."
Mm-hmm.
But they were making fun of these people for basically being polite to him when he was doing outrageous things. I have sympathy for those people. I don't have any sympathy for anybody who allows themselves to be interviewed by Ali G and not pick up on it.
Right.
And if they go on Colbert, they get what they...
Exactly.
You know.
We are running out of time. Okay, so the one other category I'm interested in is outstanding sound mixing for nonfiction programming. You have The Amazing Race, American Masters, Deadliest Catch, American Idol, or Gettysburg. I think, obviously...
Which autumn does it belong?
I think, obviously, Deadliest Catch. This is the point of our program where Thomas Pearson, our producer, comes in and disavows any knowledge of our existence. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week.
Listening to the KNON Morning Line, we'd like to remind you that the views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNON 89.3 FM.